Parks and Recreation Commission. Let's start with the roll.
Chair Wood.
Here.
Vice Chair Turner.
Here.
Commissioner Christensen. Commissioner Shelton.
Here.
Commissioner Togar.
Here.
Commissioner Miller. Commissioner Velez. We've met quorum.
All right, very good. Okay, first up, we have the public comment. Oh, no, sorry, special presentation. So we have any?
No special presentation. We can move to public comment.
All right, so we are just public comments. Now, we have it's a three-minute time limit for public comments. We have three speakers, but we have one also who yielded time. So we have one six-minute speaker, two three-minute speakers, all right? And again, just for everybody, because I know we have a big crowd here, for everyone's edification, because public comments are not agendized, we really can't engage. So unfortunately, we can't do any kind of Q&A type of thing, but we can definitely take in the presentation. All right. So our first speaker is Wesley Horn.
You guys have a podium or kind of?
You can just stand up front or, yeah, whatever you prefer.
Yeah.
Just the same thing. Sure, we'll please.
We have another one.
Another one.
That's right. Just a minute.
You have time right here. Oh, more. Okay.
Ethan. Cool. Just let me know when.
You start and I'll hit it.
All right. So, hey, commissioners, everyone in the room. My name's Wes. I'm here to talk to you about a bike park in Ventura. This is a community-driven initiative. And so there are a few different kinds of facilities that, you know, me and a couple of folks think could work. And so, you know, we think a version of a pump track with different types of obstacles and jumps for different ages and skill levels could be great. But again, something I want to stress to the commission and everyone in this room is that, you know, this is not set in stone. This is something to start the discussion. And so if this is something that does gain traction with our commission, you know, we really think it'd be valuable to work with Parks and Rec staff, community groups, and make sure that this is something that, you know, everyone wants and everyone is happy about. So with that, can I get the next slide, please? So for everyone here, what is a pump track? A pump track is a trail that, when ridden properly, does not need pedaling or pushing, but a pumping action builds speed. A pump track can include rollers, berms, jumps, wall rides, other obstacles, which can be made out of different materials, including dirt, wood, concrete, asphalt, fiberglass. Dirt's the least expensive, but it requires the most maintenance. Asphalt requires little to no maintenance, but it's more expensive. So pump tracks can be built into an existing landscape or constructed above level ground. Pump tracks can be ridden by scooters, skateboards, and rollerblades. Take the next slide, please. So why build a pump track? So unlike BMX tracks that are ridden in a single direction and meant primarily for racing, pump tracks are kind of more free-flowing. They allow riders to try different things, explore new lines. Pump tracks are also a lot more accessible to different types and skills of riders than traditional skate parks. So think of like the West Side skate park just been built. Pump tracks are a little bit more accessible. So because of that, it means many more kids, families, and beginners will be able to ride. Pump tracks are also great for intermediate and advanced riders as a way to build skills and have fun by riding more advanced obstacles like jumps and wall rides. So a pump track could actually even be part of the City of Ventura's park and recreation activity portfolio because it's a place where Parks and Rec staff could provide community events, gatherings, lessons, things of that nature. So it's kind of like that more appeal. Next slide, please. So where to possibly build a pump track? So myself and a few others, we did some searching through the City of Ventura planning resources, including the city GIS portal, and we found an approximately 1.2 acre unused portion of Camino Real Park that could work as a site for pump track. So in this image on the left-hand side, we added some yellow hash marks for the area of the pump track. It appears to meet the necessary land use and zoning requirements for a pump track. And there's nearby parking, trash, and restrooms, which makes it a lot more convenient for building a facility like this. I've stopped by the site a few times during weekends and weekdays. I never really see many people recreating here. So by developing a pump track here, you're making use of vacant, unused space that currently doesn't get used. And this would also be a great addition to the other family amenities at Camino Real. So just something to think about. Next slide, please. So on this side, the slide, here's some ideas of different grants, partnerships, consultants, partners think they could help this project get going. We've spoken to recreation staff at several different cities that have developed pump tracks. One of these grants that you see here is the same grant that the Westside Skate Park got. That's something that the City of Ventura signs on this project, helps that process roll along. And on the right-hand side, it's a list of possible partners in the greater Ventura area who could be interested in helping. At the bottom are two companies that I've talked to that have extensive experience in developing and designing pump tracks. So next slide, please. So our vision for this, like I said, is for a pump track for all skills and skill levels, but one that has as many fun, interesting jumps, features, and obstacles as possible. On this slide, the pump track with a jump line that was built in Knoxville, Tennessee. The site of the land for that park is about the same size as Camino Real, so there's some similarities there that could make a similar facility for Ventura make sense. Pump tracks and bike facilities have been built throughout the United States and world. Examples in the areas surrounding Ventura include Inglewood, Thousand Oaks, Santa Clarita, and Mount Vista. The Inglewood track has over 25,000 visitors per year, and Southway has close to 10,000. So if built, these do get a lot of attention, get a lot of use from the community. And something I've also been thinking about is that if this does get traction, you know, we could work with city planning staff to identify additional funding for the park from some of the new housing and commercial development projects in town through exactions and things like that. So that's a revenue source and material source that could help for a facility like this. So here tonight are some members of the Ventura community who support a project like this. Anyone here who's interested in this, can you please raise your hand so they can see who might be interested? Thank you. There are also supporters who are unable to attend, but I've handed your comments to your staff, so they're available for review if you want to see those. We'd appreciate feedback from this commission on this project, and also request that the commission could direct Parks and Recreation staff to begin looking at the development of this project. So it looks like I have about 30 seconds left. I'm all done. That's everything I had. Any questions for myself or others, feel free to ask. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Wesley, all right, I have Nolan Deerwolf.
Okay. Hi, I'd just like to support Wes and his proposition for a bike park. I think the idea he has is something the community's lacking. I'm personally a rider and worked in the bike industry for about 15 years of my life. Just want to fully support what he has going on. I think the community is really in need of an action sports facility like this. As someone who's built jumps, had them torn down, driven counties away to support my hobby, the community is definitely lacking. And yeah, I have plenty of youth friends who are in the same boat and would just really love to see this brought to light. Personally, I drive to Thousand Oaks a lot and put in a lot of donation time out there to try and shape it in a way that I think is conducive to riders progressing. Everyone loves to see 10-year-olds doing backflips, and I don't really think there's a place to do that now. Driven to Tehachapi to learn that kind of stuff. Landed my first backflip up at the cross when they had dirt jumps up there. Ridden the downhill trail, go to Snow Summit pretty consistently to try to build up a skill set that I don't think a lot of people have here because it's a surf town. And that's pretty much it. I think the X Games coming to Ventura is a really good example of what the sport can be. Olympic BMX, mountain bike slopestyle, those are on the world stage. And we don't really have a place to practice that kind of stuff. And that's the way I would like to see the park develop. A concrete pump track is a perfect entryway to that. And it fills a lot of core skills for young riders. And I think that every single person that shows up here, is probably in agreement that we need something in Ventura to ride. Because at this point, you're driving 35 minutes to go get the fix. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Just want to fully support Wes. Thank him for putting this on, bringing up the idea, because it's been a long time coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, Andrea Rodriguez.
Hi, I'm here in support of building a bike track for my children, Dean, Earl, and Kim. We have to go up to Thousand Oaks to, for them to ride bikes in the style that they want. I'm new to this. I haven't actually seen the plans before today, but I'd also like to add that we would like to see some, dirt jumps, all those. Maybe my kids can help me out with that, but. I've really invested in my community and when my children were young, you know, I helped make Kellogg Park happen, got involved with that, and provided our feedback on that. And I'm also really excited about, you know, our skate park. And it's really awesome that we've gotten X Games to come here the last couple of years, but it's honestly, it's quite embarrassing that we don't have a bike park for our community. So I'd love to see it happen and love to see how I can get involved in helping raise funds or any way possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, Jeremy Combs.
Hey, I'm Jeremy. I actually helped to run Saturday Bike Park in Thousand Oaks. I'm strongly in support of Ventura considering a bike park. If you haven't been to Sapley, I definitely recommend checking it out. If you're not familiar with bike parks, you know, think like a skate park, but more geared towards bicycles. Usually it's dirt and wood features, sometimes asphalt features or an asphalt pump track like Wes was talking about. There's plenty of options of what it could be. You know, one of the cool things I think about bike parks is it's almost like a broader user base than skate parks. I mean, there's everything from little kids to whole families to older guys and ladies doing it. There's everything for little kids that are just learning how to ride bikes. And then at the good bike parks, there's stuff for really skilled professional riders. So it's all levels of abilities. So really, again, I'm just strongly in support of the project. Definitely recommend the commission and the city strongly consider it. Off the top of my head, I think there's probably around 30 plus public bike parks in California right now. They keep popping up every year. One of the most recent ones was in San Marcos. It's pretty impressive. So if you haven't seen that one, definitely check it out. And again, I'm just strongly in support. And anything I can do to help with the process, I'd be more than happy to help. Thanks.
Thank you very much. All right. That's the speakers that I've got. And appreciate everybody. So obviously, the next thing would be for us to try to see maybe we can agendize this item, and then we can actually have conversation about it and you know, take it to the next level or see where the thing goes. So, but I'd say you definitely got our attention today, so appreciate it. It was new concept for me, and so we'll you'll hear from us, I guess. All right, so now we'll move on to the consent items. Approval of the minutes from our previous meeting. Do we have any comments or edits of the minutes from the previous meeting?
I read them and we'll make a motion to approve the minutes in the last meeting.
All right.
Second then.
We have a motion and a second. And Marcus?
Sherwood?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen? Commissioner Shelton?
Yes.
Commissioner Tovar?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
All right, very good. We have approved minutes. And now we move on to our formal items. We've got a couple substantial items here.
Thanks so much for having us. I'm Rachel Diamond. I'm the Community Development Director. I'm super pumped to see so many people here. And so I think this is also related to some of what was talked about earlier. But we have our team from Remy and Associates, our consultants on the general plan with the city, here to talk about our parks and open space element. And I'll turn it over to Matt Remy and Sasha Chichov, our consultants.
Great. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Ramey with Ramey & Associates, and I have Sasha Chichov with me. We're going to be sharing the presentation this evening. What we would like to do today is to just give you an overview of the draft parks and open space element. This is one of the chapters in the forthcoming general plan, and we want to give an overview and then see if the commission has any comments, thoughts, or suggestions about the element. I want to start high level with the purpose of a general plan. So the general plan is a long-term policy document that guides the city's actions. It is an opportunity for the community to come together, as we've done since 2020 for this project, to develop a shared vision for the city for the next 25 to 30 years. General plans are typically updated about every 10 to 15 years, sometimes 20 years. The last general plan was updated in 2005. The purpose of the general plan overall is to preserve and enhance the community strengths, as well as to address any topics of concern. The general plan is a state-required document, and every jurisdiction, city or county in California is required to have an up-to-date general plan. There are some strict requirements about what should be in a general plan, and the state has identified 8 required elements. They include land use, circulation, housing, noise, conservation, safety, open space, and environmental justice. Jurisdictions can also organize the information that's required in the elements in any way that they would like, and also add other topics or elements to the general plan. Next slide, please. As I alluded to earlier, we've been working on this project for close to 5 years at this point. A lot of our time has been spent talking about a variety of land use decisions over the last few years. This slide shows the 6-step process that we are going through for the general plan. We are sort of in the phase now between the policy development and the plan development, and that's why you have a preliminary draft parks and open space element before you today. After this, we're going to be putting together the remainder of the plan and then releasing it to the public for review starting in the spring. Throughout this entire process, there has been community engagement. I believe we came to this commission early on in the process in 2021 to receive input. And since then, we've had a significant amount of community input, particularly related to land use related questions. Next slide. I want to just go over quickly the statutory requirements from the state on an open space element. There is no required element for quote unquote parks or parks and recreation. The state has requirements for an open space element, but many jurisdictions really focus on the parks aspect of these requirements. So the state identifies for the open space element that there are 5 types of open space that should be looked at in this open space element. The first is open space for natural resources, and these include topics such as habitat, waterways, and natural lands. The second is open space for the managed production of resources. These are agricultural lands, range lands, and other working lands. The next is open space for outdoor recreation. Again, this is what we typically think of with parks and open space, and it includes parks, recreational facilities, trails, and historic areas. The fourth is open space for public health and safety. This includes topics such as flood zones, watershed areas, fire risk areas. A lot of these topics are really covered in the safety element of the general plan. And then the last is open space for military support, a topic which isn't necessarily relevant to the city of Ventura, but this is making sure that the areas adjacent to military installations are free of encumbrances so that the military can continue to operate. So this is a broad overview. As I mentioned, some of the topics are really covered in the parks and open space element, and others are covered in other elements of the general plan. I'm now going to turn it over to Sasha, who's going to walk through the content of the draft element. Sasha?
Thanks, Matt. And we can move to the next slide. So good afternoon, everyone. As Matt said, my name is Sasha Chichov, and I'm a planner at Ramey & Associates and have been pretty involved with the development of the draft element for parks and open space. So I'm going to walk through that today, starting with some background and existing conditions. So first, we'll touch on existing parks for the city. Oh, sorry, you can go back. Thank you. So first, touching on existing parks within the city of Ventura, there are approximately 30 parks covering 600 acres within the city. This is comprised of community parks, neighborhood parks, and mini parks. And the map on the screen shows a variety of different types of parks and open space, but just touching on what you would think of as a traditional park, the city's parks ratio is 5.36 acres per 1,000 residents, which is pretty high for the state compared to other jurisdictions and exceeds the standard set by the state of 3 acres per 1,000 residents. When we're factoring in all parks, including green spaces and beaches, this raises up to 9.6 acres per 1,000 residents, which is very high and pretty close to the aspirational goal for a parks ratio that the city has today, which is 10 acres per 1,000 residents. Next slide. So in addition to those traditional parks, we also have lots of other types of open space and facilities within the city that we're considering within this element. So you can see some of those listed on the screen along with some photos, but I'll just go ahead and walk through some general categories. So we have recreational facilities and community centers, which are found throughout the city and really serve as places for residents to be active, take classes, and connect with each other. They're also very important community hubs. We also have large open spaces. Think of things like Harmon Canyon Preserve and Grant Park in the Ventura Botanical Gardens. There are beaches, which are obviously very important to the city's landscape, culture, and identity. With approximately 320 acres of beaches within the city, many of those are city-owned. There are also three golf courses totaling approximately 400 acres. Two of those are city-owned and operated, while the other is county-owned and operated. And then there is a very wide network of pedestrian and cycling trails throughout the city, used for both recreation and transportation. And the city recently completed their active transportation plan, which details plans to expand this network even further. And we'll see that on a map in a few slides. Next slide. So here we have the city's park standards, and you can see the community, neighborhood, and mini parks that I referenced a few slides ago. And these are essentially guidelines for different types of parks within the city. They determine the features and amenities included in the parks, as well as the typical size and service population. So at the top, we have community parks, which you can see are the biggest by far. They often have a very wide variety of different amenities, such as fields, courts, playgrounds, picnic areas, and indoor facilities. And these parks are intended to serve a pretty large service population, residents of more than one neighborhood. These are the parks that typically you might travel by car out of your neighborhood to go visit because they have a particular facility. Next up, we have neighborhood parks, which are significantly smaller, up to 8 acres. And these still provide opportunities for active and passive recreation, but are more geared towards a specific residential area. And lastly, we have mini parks, which are the smallest of the three. These are typically a more simple park, a bit more bare bones with benches, picnic tables, and again, intended to serve a very specific residential area. So ideally, all residents would be within walking distance of a mini park, a neighborhood park, or both. And lastly on this list, we have linear parks and greenways, which don't have any specific set size. These might not be what you think of as a traditional park, but they fill a lot of green space within the city along trails and roads and probably make up a lot of the green space that you see within your daily life traveling around the city, whether you're walking, biking, or driving. Next slide. So here we have a map of existing and future parks and open spaces. So as you see in the legend, it shows open space, beaches, golf courses, private parks, all sorts of different things throughout the city, even some special use areas such as the fairgrounds on the left in that pink polygon. It does show the proposed trails that are included in the active transportation plan in some hashed lines. It's a bit small here, but you should be able to see it in the PDF or printed version of the element a little clearer. And future parks are not included on this just because those locations are determined as land and funding becomes available. Next slide. So as part of this process, we use all this data that we just walked through, as well as conversations with city staff and resident feedback to determine the main strengths and weaknesses of the city's parks and open space system, and then use those to inform the goals and policies. So at the top, you'll see the strengths here, and a big theme within the strengths are quantity and variety. So as we just discussed, the city has a very high parks ratio with a large diversity of different sorts of parks and open spaces, which is a very important and significant amenity to all the residents, and something that is a defining characteristic of the city and is something to be very proud of as well. And the weaknesses focus more on quality, maintenance, and accessibility, which makes sense. If you have such a wide variety and just large acreage of park area, the quality and maintenance might be something that is a bit more difficult than if you had less parks. So quality, maintenance, and accessibility are themes that you'll see come up often in the goals and policies of the element. Next slide. So there are 7 goals within the parks and open space element that we have now, as well as a number of policies for each goal. I'm not going to go through all of those in detail right now, but I'll just kind of give an overview of each goal and the policies contained within it. So the first goal is focused on improving the parks and open space network by maintaining and enhancing park quality, expanding park facilities, and incorporating sustainability and amenities, as well as working with community partners such as BUSD. The second goal is focused on making the system safe and accessible by emphasizing universal design, equitable park distribution, increased safety measures, affordability, and programming. Goal 3 focuses on securing diverse funding sources through park service standards, impact fees, and bond measures, and creating a more affordable system by reducing long-term costs. Goal 4 is focused on protecting and improving open space throughout the city, specifically safeguarding shorelands, improving public access to these open spaces, and incentivizing private contributions to open space development. Goal 5 is focused on improving beaches through renovations, safe access improvements, cleanliness, and expanded beach facilities. Goal 6 is a goal where we look at trails, specifically maintaining and expanding trails through creation of multi-use connections, improving accessibility, and improving trail amenities for resident safety and convenience. And lastly, we have Goal 7, which focuses on sensitive areas, species, and resources, specifically protecting and preserving these through conservation, species protection, and sustainable resource management. Next slide. So here we have the 7 implementation actions currently included in the element. And these are going to be, like it says, more actionable items that can be kind of completed and checked off of a list, as opposed to the goals and policies, which are a bit more aspirational and intended to guide through the next, you know, few decades through the horizon of the current general plan. So first we have the creation of a Parks and Rec Master Plan, which is a long-term management document for the park system over the coming years. There is a parks safety evaluation, which is exactly what it sounds like. It is an evaluation of the safety of parks on a biannual basis, intended to identify safety issues and solutions. We have an update of the parks impact fee for residential uses, as well as the creation of a new parks impact fee for commercial developments, the creation of shared use agreements specifically with BUSD to make the most of green space on campuses, the implementation of a dark sky ordinance, which will limit light pollution for the health of people and wildlife within the city. And then lastly, studying the creation of a parks district for the city. Next slide. So that's all the information I have for you right now. And now we really want to hear from you all. So we'd like to know if all the topics that you think should be covered in element are covered. Is there anything that's missing specifically from the goals, policies and actions, or is there anything that you think needs to be edited or even removed from the element? So with that, I'll turn it back over to Matt and Rachel. All right.
Commissioners, anybody with a question, comment relative to the discussion items?
A couple.
Go ahead.
So, and I'll speak, can you hear me? This is Commissioner Miller. Okay. I have some questions regarding especially the impact fee section. So if the city of Ventura is at a pretty high park acreage per 1,000 resident ratio, does that impact the ability to create those fees? Because I believe Quimby fees are limited at 5 acres per 1,000 already, and we're already above that.
Yeah, the answer to that is yes. Thank you for the question. It does impact it to some degree. You know, there are there are different ways that the city can identify and obtain funding. The Quimby fees or parks impact fees are for new development, charging new development to add park space to the city. The Quimby fees are essentially for subdivision, and impact fee is then for sort of any new unit. And it is limited. The Quimby fees are limited. Jurisdictions can charge for an amount of up to 3 acres per thousand or up to 5 acres per thousand if they have between 3 and 5 acres. So you are somewhat limited. You can't charge an amount at 9.6 acres per thousand for those fees.
Let me do a quick follow on that, because I had sort of around the same question, although I was probably looking at it from the opposite side. Why couldn't that number be bigger? How is that number arrived at?
You mean the specific number in the plan in terms of the amount?
Correct.
So there's a fee study that would need to happen. I believe this is the existing fee study, and I don't know how or when this fee study was done. Perhaps Rachel or the Parks and Rec staff could weigh in on that. But essentially, the process is that you you identify the need and then calculate the amount that it would take to build, per acre of parkland. It is only for building new parks. It's actually not for maintaining parks in terms of what these fees are for. So there is a study that's done, and you have to identify nexus, and you have to identify the cost, the local cost for that, and then that gets applied to the new development. Again, that's broadly, but I'm not familiar specifically with how the city's current fees were created or when they were created.
Okay, yeah, probably my problem was probably when I read through the document, it wasn't clear to me that the aspirational goal was just an aspirational goal and not a real goal in terms of 10 acres per thousand. So I was looking, how did we get to that number if we're only asking for 5, with every new development kind of thing? So I think I kind of understand now the difference. So the aspirational goal really can only work when you add all these extra pieces on, like the beaches and that sort of thing, I assume.
Yeah, that's correct. And, I think there are clearly other ways that jurisdictions can move beyond their current number. The whole idea of the impact fee is that you can't charge new development for something more than what the city has right now. So the impact fee is really only supposed to be the impact of that new development. There are lots of ways that jurisdictions can add park space or open space to the city, whether it's through partnerships or finding grants that are beyond new development. New development is but one source of funding for new parks. It's not the only one.
Sure. Thanks. Additional questions?
I do, actually. And this is more of a I understand general plans are general plans. They're general on purpose. And one of the items that really stood out to me was the goal of upping the quality of service that the parks actually provide to the public. Is there has there been thought given to establishing kind of like a goal, dollar per acre of park, for park budget, sort of a recommendation as a, baseline spending level for the city council to follow?
But we maybe park staff can weigh in on this. We didn't consider that as part of the general plan as, a broad target. We haven't done that in the past. It's not that it's out of the realm of possibility. But I think you're right. General plans are general, and I would probably recommend that something like that be in a Parks and Rec master plan rather than in the general plan itself.
I have some general comments, but I'll save those for later. A question I had was about the Parks District. Could you explain to us what that means? Because that's a very broad term. And I know it's mentioned as perhaps one of the things the general plan might recommend for implementation.
I'm hoping that city staff could weigh in on this, answer this question. Is there anyone from staff there?
On how Parks District could work. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, no, it's different than what we have now.
Right. Because I guess to clarify my question, I'm familiar with cities where you have a Parks District that's independent from the city of Ventura. Is that what is being contemplated here? And if so, why?
I think it's just a different approach for consideration purposes. I don't think there's been necessarily a deep dive on that one, but it's just another element to consider because we've seen it successful I think nearby Caneo has one. We have neighboring jurisdictions that have that. It's just another way to, you know, thing to consider. Another thing that, again, another reason why we hope that a master plan stays on this element.
But that item was listed on the action plan, right? So does that make it more, you know, certain or more, you know, accelerated versus something that's just in the aspirational plan?
I guess the purpose, where it lands on the, and the purpose behind that, I'd love to dive into that maybe a little bit more. But for right now, I just know, I, again, that will always be a consideration if you're working for, you know, a municipality versus, you know, a local district or whatnot. So we'll continue looking into that.
All right. Vice Chair.
I just have a question. I didn't see the Port District involved in this or mentioned anywhere. Maybe that's just not part of your plan, but I didn't see them included in the general plan. I didn't see anything about boating, harbor, state or port beaches, you know, clean harbor for recreation and use and safety. Was that the Port District just completely different or?
No, I think you bring up a good point. We actually do have information about the port in the land use element, the land use and community character element. We haven't really mentioned it as much here, but that is something we could go back and look at and see if there's topics, just like you mentioned, that should be included in goals and policies.
Thank you.
Okay. I have a question. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
regarding the school district, there's a lot of reference to school district properties and their significance. Are they a party to this process at all?
Yeah, broadly, they are a party to the general plan update process. They are one of the stakeholders. You know, the reason that they are mentioned is because that shared use agreements or joint use agreements are one of the best ways to actually add open space, at least for non-school hours, parks and open space throughout the city. It's, you know, really is an opportunity to supplement the city's existing parks. And so that's why it was identified, the schools were identified on the future parks map, just in case there are opportunities or when there are opportunities for the shared use agreements.
Oh, no, I get the purpose. I think it makes a lot of sense. I'm just wondering, are they clued in on this? Do they even know we're asking for this kind of thing?
Yeah, my understanding is that the city's already had conversations with the school district about shared use agreements. So it's been an ongoing conversation.
I have comments on the attachment, but I don't want to get ahead of where we are if this was just time for questions of staff. So I just want to let you know that.
All right. Any other questions from the commission? Okay, thank you very much, folks. Appreciate the presentation. Very thorough. Very comprehensive document for sure.
All right, Kenneth? Oh, yeah. No, I just, on the attachment, if it is, I'm assuming you're here to kind of get feedback from us on what we thought of the draft you sent, right? So I don't know if this is the appropriate time to put my head.
Yeah, unless you do public.
Yeah, right? Too. Yeah.
Okay. Do it. Okay. Yeah. Well, if that's the case. Okay. Thank you guys for all your work on this. I thought this was really well prepared and put together. The one thing I noticed in talking about the open space, there's mention of Harmon Canyon. I'd really recommend we have a narrative about Mariano Ranch, which is the VLT's new land preserve, and including that as well, because that'll be pretty substantial in terms of the amount of open space that VLT is bringing to the city. And I know this was probably drafted before that became public knowledge, but I think now that it's public knowledge, it's really important that we have the synergy between the city's general plan and all of the VLT parks and open space areas, because they're going to be a huge asset to us moving forward. So just emphasis on that. And then I think my only other comment on the attachment that you sent over, the draft. The joint use agreements with the school district, I think that's really important. I think that's something that we have heard a lot about at this commission, is the, you know, the public wanting access to those sites and us as a city wanting access to them to do BYBA and other activities. So emphasizing and putting that goal in the general plan, I think, is really beneficial. So Yeah, and then on the Parks District, I'd be curious to see how that works out. Generally, I'm of the opinion that it's good to keep everything in-house, but I'm not opposed to the idea of a Parks District necessarily, so that's an interesting concept, but I don't know if I'm necessarily sold on that, but I guess that would come out of the Parks Master Plan process. So that's all my comments on the attachment we got at the draft, so thank you.
Now, I have not received any public communication speaker cards for this topic, but if we have anyone that'd like to speak on the topic, scramble a card together. All right. You're lost.
I'm a Savage resident and property owner. It's holding East Ventura. I noticed on here the dark sky ordinance is listed under implementation actions, and I hope that you will, this plan will address any grandfathering or lack of it regarding the Mount Chavo area, which at the last council meeting was quite a bit of a problem because it had been the Ventura Car Auto Center impacts were not fully implemented and fulfilled, and I hope there will be consequences included in the dark sky ordinance for anything that isn't in compliance.
Thank you. Do I have any other public comments on this topic? All right, very good. Thank you very much, folks. That's it. Then we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is our draft climate action and resilience plan input to the general plan.
Hi, everybody. I am Lars Savenport. I am a supervisor with the Environmental Sustainability Division in Public Works, and I'm here today to talk about a Climate Action and Resilience Plan, or CARP. Next slide, please. So what is the CARP? It's a relatively short-term plan, looking 5 to 10 years out. It proposes focused solutions to reduce greenhouse gas emissions while advancing related goals associated with community resilience and climate adaptation. So this serves as the city's greenhouse gas reduction program. The CARP inventories current emissions, estimates future emissions, establishes greenhouse gas reduction measures, and assesses the effectiveness of these measures at meeting state targets. So those state targets, per Senate Bill 32, the state aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions 40% below 1990 levels. And if the city of Ventura is able to successfully implement the CARP, that will allow us to do our part to meet that goal. CARP also identifies vulnerabilities from climate change hazards and defines specific policies and actions for the city to implement to address those vulnerabilities. Slide, please. So the CARP was directed by council. It's in line with many of their goals. Over the last few years, council has directed specific strategies that have been adopted into the CARP. And as recently as last month, the council goals have prioritized environmental stewardship and support of the CARP. The CARP was endorsed by council in June of 2023. And so it will be officially adopted. We anticipate it will be officially adopted as part of the general plan update later this year. And we're taking the most recent draft of the CARP to council on February 25th. Next slide, please. So there's been a lot of public engagement throughout the development of the CARP. We had surveys, workshops, focus groups, hundreds and hundreds of public comments on drafts that staff worked with Ramey and Associates, our consultant, went through line by line to address all those comments and incorporate them as appropriate. We engaged with a number of different groups, including climate groups, business groups, and groups representing our disadvantaged community areas to make sure we received diverse viewpoints. We have a core group of community development and environmental sustainability staff that are working with the consultant on this to drive the development of the CARP, but really each city department plays a role. And they were included to direct and provide feedback on relevant sections of the CARP. And ultimately, each city department will be responsible for implementing the sections of the CARP that are in their wheelhouse. So it's really a group effort. Next slide, please. There are two main goals of the CARB. There's the greenhouse gas mitigation side and then the climate adaptation side. So for mitigation, we're looking at the most significant sources of greenhouse gas emissions in our community. An example of that would be internal combustion engine vehicles driving on our roads. We would propose an action like installing electric vehicle charging stations to promote the switch to EVs and ultimately hope to reduce the vehicle miles traveled by those internal combustion engine vehicles and reduce emissions in that way. For the adaptation side, we look at the effects of climate change. So an example of that would be sea level rise. And we propose actions like managed retreat or dune restoration to reduce the potentially destructive effects of sea level rise on our community. So within the CARP, there are over 90 strategies to address both the mitigation and the adaptation side. Next slide, please. So while there's over 90 strategies, and I encourage you to read the CARP and familiarize yourself with all of them, we do have 12 priority action plans. So you can find this in Appendix G of the CARP. These 12 strategies were identified as priority strategies because they satisfy one or more of the following criteria. They are either an ongoing or priority city or state initiative. They are a foundational strategy with multiple strategy linkages. They have multiple quality of life impacts and co-benefits. They have significant greenhouse gas reduction or adaptation potential, and they have community support. So when we took the CARP to council in 2023, where it was endorsed, council was generally happy with the CARP, but they instructed staff to flesh out each of those priority strategies so that we really had an actionable plan that staff could implement. And if these priority action plans are implemented successfully, they will that will lead to 96% of our carbon reduction goals for 2030 and 97% of our reductions for 2045. So while I encourage you to read through the entire CARP, you don't have the time, look at that Appendix G. That'll give you a good idea of what the city is planning to do both on the adaptations. So where does Parks and Rec come in? There are all city departments will be involved to some degree. Parks has two strategies where they are the lead. That is increased tree canopy, which is one of our priority action plans, and protect open space. Parks will also be an important partner on a lot of the other strategies. Just for a couple examples, Parks has buildings, they use energy, they have lots of vehicles and equipment, and so in that way they'll be tied into some of these other strategies. You're probably all aware of the large solar project that's going up at Community Park right now. That's just one example of where Parks has a big role in one of these other areas of the CARP. Next slide, please. And then here's just a couple other CARP categories with strong ties to Parks, both on the adaptation and the greenhouse gas reduction side. Next slide, please. So the CARP lays out strategies for climate mitigation and adaptation, but this is not a standalone document. It references and is supported by existing policies and guidance documents, and those change over time. So you can see a good example here. This is the increased tree canopy priority action item. It references the 2020 tree master plan. It references sections of the municipal code, and it references the parks and open space element that was just discussed earlier. This, I would say, the CARP at this point is we're considering in a final draft. We are taking it to council. There's a chance that there will be some alterations. But if you want to have an influence on the CARP, and especially the ones related to parks, I recommend commenting on the general plan, the master plan, and engaging in that way. And that's probably the best way to have an influence on the CARP going forward. Also, this is a living document. We're looking 10 years out. We have short-term, medium-term, and long-term strategies within that 10-year period. And this is going to have to be updated over time. We're going to have new goals, new strategies. So staying engaged is good here because it is a living document. Once adopted, the CARP We'll bring staff together from each of the departments. The goal here is, yes, community development and environmental sustainability are kind of leading this effort, but once implementation starts, it's really going to be about getting all the departments together, making sure they're aware of the goals. They're doing things like making budget requests to council ahead of time so that they can start implementation in line with the timeline of the CARP. So it's really going to be a group effort. I'm sure there will be a lot of brainstorming about how to most effectively meet these various strategies that will come from the experts in each department, as opposed to those of us who are helping to organize it. I think that's those are the main points. Again, we're happy to hear your input. At this point, we have a draft that's going to council, but we want to keep engagement over the years. It's going to be as we get ready to implement, there will be a lot of fine tuning that can go on. So happy to hear what you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Council or commission questions?
Yeah, I just know when you're going to City Council.
February 25th.
February.
Oh. Okay. Oh, coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. Has anybody looked at the sort of the natural conflict between the tree canopy and the transition to solar?
Yes, that has been a hot topic. It's certainly consideration. We considered a lot of sites for our solar projects. Some were discounted because there were going to be too many trees removed. I feel like the sites that we landed on, we had some tree removal, but pretty minor compared to some of the other sites.
So is there a priority? In other words, I guess I don't know if it's appropriate enough. Is there a priority to tree canopy sort of prioritize over solar panel installation in general, or just kind of you weigh all the factors?
Yeah, kind of just a squishy math. We don't say X number of trees can be removed per solar panel, but we just looked at the alternatives. And for example, here at City Hall over in the trade desk lot, that way, if we were going to put panels there, we'd have to remove a bunch of trees that people are happy with. Where we did have to remove some trees over at Police and Fire Headquarters, they were eucalyptus that were causing problems there already. They were falling on employee vehicles, and they're non-native eucalyptus. So we are going to replant those trees at a 1.5-to-1 ratio. Our park staff has been really helpful in telling us, the best way to do that. They'll utilize their, what is it, best tree?
Yes.
Best tree for the best location. Best location, best tree policy.
Oh, that's a nice add then. So is that an automatic process then? Anytime we take out a tree, we put back 1.5?
And I believe it's going to be increasing too. We have something that's going to cancel. I believe it's in the cart. I was reviewing it, and it's going up to 3-to-1. But currently, right now, it's 0.5-to-1.
Okay. Question? No. Anyone else? Sure.
Kind of a question or comment. Matilaha Dam removal part of the car at all, like part of the discussion or the conversation? I mean, you talk about shoreline retreat. I mean, there's your sand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Outside the confines of the CARP, but, related. It affects the shoreline and affects adaptation to sea level rise and all that. So certainly to be considered.
One of the things where we're looking at that once as we're winding down the general plan, we're moving towards our local coastal program land use plan, which has a beach and sand management plan as part of that, to allow us to get approval with the Coastal Commission to move sand as needed to create the beach environment that we want.
All right, any more questions? No, all set. Thank you very much, presentation. And now we have our fourth item, the Parks and Recreation Commission 2025 Work Plan Development.
We have a public comment card.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I have a comment regarding the work plan.
Thank you.
We do that first. All right, Jason Green.
That's wrong.
Oh, well, that's why I asked the question, because Stephen jumped.
No, and we, I will tee up the the work plan discussion, work plan development discussion. We can take the public comment at that time, and then we can jump into what we will be adding to as far as the work plan goes. So this one is an ongoing, as we host on a monthly basis here, is this is the second of the expected meetings to set the work plan in place for 2025. This one is basically, hey, we need to leave here and approve what we are moving forward with and establish and finalize the work plan that we have here as well. The one thing to consider is another thing that we've been adding and doing on a monthly basis or on an annual basis is a work plan in action item. So I'll touch on that a little bit as well. And two, starting already in February, we've had a little bit of our work plan in action. So this is the initiative that the Parks and Rec Commission will be driving and motivating themselves and assigning themselves, you know, community councils to visit, public meetings to visit, and department-related events to visit to stay on top and afloat of what's going on in the community. One of which was the City Council Strategic Priority Setting meeting that was on 2-1, where we had Commissioner Sheldon attend. Yesterday we had Marina Park Playground Rebuild Project groundbreaking, where we had Chair Wood and Vice Chair Turner there as well. So before we jump into our ads and our discussion items, we'll open it up for public comment.
Public comment? All right. Very good. Jason.
Hey, Jason Green, I'm a lifelong resident along the Ventura watershed. I will try and be brief. I do appreciate the work and outline 2025 workplace, the work that had the overarching kind of generalization of moving forward. But I would ask for this commission to consider, amended it as written, since it's still in draft, to include some of the specific items that were spoken here in public comment. Whether or not forming a panel to look at cost analysis and environmental impact for a bike park, you know, what location would be used, and all the things that go along with it. Done through an RFP process, but I would ask the commission to consider a small revision to the workforce plan to specifically name the bike park that was spoken on earlier. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
So at this time, what we'll do is, each of the commissioners are actually provided one of the lists or lists for the updated work plan visits or site visits, program visits. One that we do have coming up that's on there is actually two, and we could utilize this time to either self-elect or self-assign or nominate another fellow commissioner to attend one of these things. Again, trying to make sure that we don't have any Ground Act infractions, we try to limit it to no more than three to attend these events here. So if you wish to express some interest, I would be happy to notate this down. Or if you have an upcoming public meeting that you'd like to attend as well, we can make this motion now to encourage and approve, that attendance.
All right. So for March, basically, I guess, or the rest of February and into the beginning of March.
Correct.
If we have anybody that has anything they're already thinking about doing or on this list, I'd be interested in the tree planting in Arroyo Verde. That's the same day as our next meeting, correct?
I believe so. It's on the 24th.
Yeah.
I think there might be a date update, but I can send if it's it shows 12th on here.
Oh, I moved the date.
But I'll make sure, and as we've done previously, once you show interest in that, I'll make sure that those that are interested get the updated
date. Yeah, as long as the date works, then I'm okay.
Okay.
I'll do the tour in June, but it's a long way away. Camino Real Park.
Or would this be easier from a staff perspective is if we just sent in like via email?
Yeah, you can.
Like a bunch of requests.
I'd say if we can establish an interest in March here, and if there's any
big... Yeah, to me, it seems like we kind of update every month anyway, so...
Yeah,
okay. I'd say let's I just didn't know it would be easier for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, the immediate items.
Do the VYBA.
I'd be interested in the tree planting as well, once you get the date on that, but I'm interested.
Yeah, and same here.
Thank you.
And also, if we're going into April as well, the West Park mural.
I'm interested in that as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other neighborhood council meeting?
I'm just going to ask a question to Stephen. did you get my pictures and stuff from the Montalvo one I did sent you a while back? I never saw it on any of your...
Yeah, but I could pull them up. I can refer.
Let's make sure we can just email me back and forth, see if we got that one on there.
Okay, sounds good.
Montalvo.
Montalvo.
Yeah, I think we did have a presentation. Yes, did you?
Yeah, I went to city council goal setting. I can report back on that. It was good. Pretty much the gist of my comments was please pay attention to our longstanding CIP projects that have been on the list, and specifically called out kind of deferred maintenance projects, and then made a reference to Camino Real, both the tennis courts and the parking lot out there, and how we frequently hear public input at these meetings about the shape those are in. Really brief, I didn't stay for the deliberation during the day. I got in and out of there. But I think the comments were well received, and hopefully council takes them into consideration. And I want to applaud staff on their Photoshop skills there, because I don't ever remember my face being quite like that. That looks suspiciously like my LinkedIn photo, but
amazing.
Well done. I mean, well done.
I just like to think that you prepped ahead of time. You gave that to them to
present. No, I did not put my face up on a PowerPoint to say, hello, this is me talking to you.
I'm impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you for your participation.
And council did take your information into consideration, and it did go under infrastructure.
Oh, good.
And so we have a meeting on that tomorrow. So they did take your comments and what you said on behalf of the commission, and they did alter the infrastructure, and we're having a meeting, or our department's having a meeting on that tomorrow.
That is awesome. Well, that's great, because I know we have all really been passionate about getting it on there. So thank you, and thanks for taking the lead from the staff end.
Is that something you can keep us?
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Thank you. It goes tomorrow, and then I believe I have to have all of I think I'm not positive until after the meeting, but I believe my report or whatever has to be in within the next week to 2 weeks. So then by our next meeting, your next commission meeting, I'll be able to give you maybe an update.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And lastly, your next commission meeting will include the biennial breaking that is in your 2025 work plan as well. So you'll receive the assignment to rank the current list of park and rec related department CIPs.
Yeah. I have a question. Did we need to, I can't remember. We need to approve this, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's what I thought. Because I think at last meeting, we kind of put it together, and then this meeting, we're going to approve it. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me.
Do we have a motion, then, to approve?
Assuming there's no further
discussion. Or further discussion, yeah. I kind of got just we were done talking.
You know that here, we're...
No, I just to tell the flow of the room. But, yeah. So unless we have any other edits, we have a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to approve our 2025 work plans.
Chair Wood?
Yes.
Vice Chair Turner?
Yes.
Commissioner Christensen? Commissioner Shelton?
Yes.
Commissioner Tovar?
Yes.
Commissioner Miller?
Yes.
Commissioner Velez?
Yes.
All right, very good. Approved. Moving forward, Now we're on to the informational items, the department communications.
So I'll kick it off. So within REC and but the Recreation Division and the Community Partnerships Division, we've added a couple photos here to help kind of speak to as well. First, in the bottom left-hand corner, we currently have our recreation coordinator recruitment up. That's actually for two vacancies. As shared in the last meeting, we had two promotions into supervisor positions, and now this opens up those coordinator vacancies for special event permitting, the oversight on 4th of July street fair event. That's one. And the other one is our cultural arts, historical sites, and public art collection coordinator position. That closes on the 17th. So if you know that there's any interest, please make sure you refer those. If you want to work with a great team at Mill Bias, then please send them to the city's jobs webpage. 4th of July Street Fair vendor applications are open. The corporate games enrollment is open. Please consider that. As shared with more an informational message, there is a recent podcast with our deputy city manager, Britt Connors, on golf updates. I know that that is one thing that is on the commission's work plan as well, to stay updated with that. We're still working off of and out of the spring activity guide, although behind the scenes, we are working on our summer guide, and it is looking packed. VYBA is now into, I believe, we just completed week five for President's Day weekend. This upcoming weekend, we take a break, and then we run into the final 3 weeks of the regular season. And one of the items on the visit was a VYBA finals. So hopefully we can get some additional attendance from a commissioner with that. And then more recently, you'll start to notice we are in the spring sports leagues. That's and with that, our sports section has issued a total of 16 total sports field use permits throughout the city for this one season. And its season is from February, the early February till we kind of butt into the summer season as well. So the fields are going to be packed. They just need to dry out now so they can get out there. So that's it on the recreation division side. Yeah.
And then on the park side, I'm moving this one kind of to the front. Public Works did do semi-inspections, and we're not going to be opening the pier tomorrow. The pier will remain closed through Saturday, and then Public Works will go back out there. They're worried about the storm and some of the information that's coming in currently. So that will be re-inspected at some point on Saturday, and then we'll determine on Saturday whether or not we'll be opening the pier on Sunday morning. Just in case you happen to know that, we are also posting that, and they're going to also do social media on that. Skate park is still moving forward, but of course, we're going to have delays on the next pour because of the weather. And then I can't remember what my last one was.
You have notes there.
The last one was the Camino Park tennis lights have been completed. So that's all working right now.
Awesome. And then our next regular Parks and Rec Commission meeting is on Wednesday, March 12th, right here at 4 p.m. So that concludes our department communications.
All right, thank you, folks. Commission communications. Any commissioners have items?
Yeah, just quickly, I'm really looking forward. Our company is competing in the corporate games. Back in it again this year, so... looking forward to it. It's a great event. If anyone has companies or if anyone from the public works for a company that's interested in doing it, we have a ton of fun every time we do it. It's our first time back since COVID, so we're looking forward to it. So thanks to staff for putting that on every year.
Sure.
I'm excited because winter sports CIF tournament time is going on. I got women's girls soccer, got boys and girls basketball. I have a 17-year-old boy playing for Foothill tonight at Ventura College at 7 p.m. So let's go Ventura teams. They all got their start in BBYA.
Yeah. Love it.
Thank you. Well, I would like to submit my times for the event. That's my availability. So when you decide the dates and times, just let me know.
Thank you.
And then I've got a question regarding the pier. So just so that way we're all well informed, what in particular is Public Works really concerned about? Just the new work that was completed, or?
It came in from fire. So I was noticed by fire to have Public Works take a look at it, and they recommended us closing the pier tomorrow at 12 noon. And the decision was made that do it in the morning instead of having to walk down and have patrons to leave or to stop fishing. And so the decision was made between Public Works, Fire, and
just in case
our department that we would be.
Makes sense to me.
So closure tomorrow at 12 until Saturday
morning.
Tomorrow morning
till Saturday. Right now is what they're calling. And then Public Works and Fire will reevaluate Saturday.
They deserve works throughout the county to get information about weather systems. So if it looks like there's any type of safety issue, they're going to find the system. So that's typically where fire will get off a call and then to meet with any of the other teams of fall to say, okay, we do the community, we're going to close it. And then we'll pass. We're not worried about ISCs, waves, rain, etc.
Is that usually the concern, high seas and waves or lightning or?
Not sure with the pier, sure, right?
A lot of it will have to do typically, and I don't know for the but typically it depends on wave action, it depends on the rain. Sometimes it's just not wanting to put that on the pier when it's pouring, not when there's the potential. And that oftentimes will happen when you have a weather system, so that's usually why.
So I'd add also just a separate comment relative to the progress on the golf course, at least a preliminary reopening. I did see the action prompted the local golf clubs to solicit volunteers to fill bunkers. So real shovel, unlike what we were doing yesterday. Yeah. Yes.
I was going to ask exactly on that. Is there any concern as far as the storms coming on to the work that has been done at the golf course? Is it going to impact in any way?
You know what? They did not talk about that. I wasn't in that conversation. I know that they were probably having one this afternoon, but I had not heard anything because I was not in that one.
I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And I will share, there is some additional information coming out about the golf course and the next few stages for both Buenaventura and Olivas Links. It's going to go out through Kemper Sports, who manages our golf courses. We'll have it on the city's website, but it'll share more information on the timeline of here are the different activities that are going on at Buena to get it, up and ready to at least do a temporary reopen of a smaller course. And then here are some additional items that we're going to be addressing at Olivas Links. So within the next week or two, there should be an e-blast that goes out. There should be more information on the city's website and additional information about it. I saw them earlier today. I can't share them. But it's great. They'll have those in the golf cart, still have them at the golf shop to be able to help get the word out, especially for our golfers who are excited to get back on green sports.
Very good. All right. Any other commission communications? All right, then. With that, folks, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. All
right. I'll chocolate with you.
For 3 minutes, impact.
Glad, because we have been hearing about this for as long as I've been on the commission. So just
yeah.
So is both the tennis courts aren't going well, got elevated then?
Well, what they did when it's infrastructure, they we were not on there.